Yes, welcome back into the Auburn Daily Show. I am your host, Harrison Tarr, joined today. It is Wednesday, as always, by my main man, Dylan Lark, at your boy, The Tank on Twitter. Tank, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing all right. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. Beautiful day to talk about basketball as well. Auburn basketball is number 15 in the nation. That's a big wrong side. 1-5 for Auburn men's basketball. That is the 31st consecutive week of Auburn being ranked in the AP poll, which is a program record. So it speaks volumes to what Bruce Pearl has brought to this Auburn basketball program.
Well, you know, I've got to tell you before we jump into this, I'm a little envious that you said it's a beautiful day where you're at, because here in Macon, Georgia, it has been raining all day, and it was tough to get out of bed because I had that pitter-patter on my window this morning. I was snuggled up, you know what I'm saying? It's a tough life.
Oh, it's beautiful over here in Alabama. 58 degrees, a little cloudy, but it beats yesterday being 27 degrees.
Well, glad you're not going to get criticized too bad for wearing shorts today, Dylan. But on that note, I won't pick on you anymore. Let's get into it, right into an all Auburn basketball episode. Man, I'm excited about this one. You know, I love the opportunity to sit down and talk hoops. We've gotten to do it, I think, two out of three weeks. I don't know. It all kind of blurs together at this point. You know what I mean? And between here and the college loop, we've talked a lot about hoops. Like you mentioned, Auburn ranked 15 in the country for the 31st week in the consecutive in the AP poll. Program record. Great job to the guys. Huge testament to Bruce Pearl. Big test tonight at home at Auburn Arena, defending that longest active win streak in the country against Texas A&M, a team that's shown a lot of fight this year. I think that obviously you probably give the edge to Auburn here, but there's a lot of things to talk about and a lot of things to dissect here, Dylan, because tonight's going to be a big test of the guard play for Auburn. If you look at it from a matchup perspective and you look at Wade Taylor IV and what he brings to the table, 14.8 points a game, 3.8 assists a game, and 1.8 steals per game. He kind of gets it done on all ends of the floor. And he's going to be someone that you really got to keep an eye on if you're Wendell Green, Zepp Jasper, KD Johnson, Trey Donaldson, what have you, right? So I'm interested to hear your thoughts on your keys to success tonight and how imperative this is, because later in the show we are going to get to talk about the implications of this and Auburn's still contention for an SEC regular season title. Like, I know that's a little bit of clickbait, but I'm interested to hear your outlook for tonight and how that plays going forward, Dylan.
Yeah, so Auburn has had a bad case of refusing to, like, put their foot on the gas pedal and put teams behind them. We talk about this almost every time we talk about men's basketball. I think A&M is a good team. They are a good team. They are, I believe, fourth in the SEC right now, and according to some people who don't understand how rankings and standings work, this is a battle for second place.
It's not.
You know, as long as A&M beats Auburn and as long as I think Georgia beats Tennessee tonight.
Simple.
So
simple fix.
It's, you know, the battle of the coincidental second team in the SEC. I think that Auburn is looking to keep that win streak alive, but you have to be wary of the team that ended the first streak and eventually started this streak, because A&M was the last team to beat Auburn in Neville Arena. And this is also ruined Auburn's chances of winning the SEC tournament as well, a game that me and you were at, and we were not very happy in that game. But I think the key success for this game is Auburn needs to put their foot on the gas pedal, take good shots, give the ball to Jay Will, give the ball to Janai, score in the middle. I think that the guards are going to have a hard time against A&M has some really good guards. Outside Wade Taylor, I mean, it's still a good guard room. But I think their forwards and big men have a lot to be desired. And I think Janai Broome and Jay Will, and if, you know, Al can play the three this game, I think that we're looking for a good forward matchup.
I would agree with you, Dylan. And I think it's also important to note that this game is kind of twofold. You get to play Texas A&M twice this year. And like you said, they've given Auburn fits and Bruce Pearl teams fits in the past, specifically dating back to not so far as last year in the SEC tournament. Buzz always has a really well-coached team. This team plays a lot of tenacity. I know that's kind of one of those intangible things, and you wind up – it kind of sounds like coach speak, but it's the truth. This is one of those kind of Achilles heel moments like we talked about with Florida. And we mentioned that earlier in the year about how Florida teams give Bruce Pearl teams fits. A&M teams give Bruce Pearl-led teams fits. And let's not forget that A&M, as recently as Saturday morning, was tied with Auburn for second place in the SEC. They went in and had an absolute rock fight against a Kentucky team that I think that we would probably agree is playing their best basketball to this point this year. It looks like Kentucky's kind of figuring out they're a fringe team right now for the NCAA tournament. There's a lot of basketball left to be played, and we'll talk about that later in the show about how there is a ton of basketball left, specifically in the SEC, in a conference that is so congested for that second place spot. I think that we probably agree Alabama is on another level right now, but we've seen teams crash and burn in the past. So every single game counts, specifically in this league, and this is an opportunity to not just defend your home court and continue to keep your chances alive for jockeying for that SEC regular season championship, if that's something that's in the cards. But prepare yourself to go play Texas A&M in Aggieland. I mean, Dylan, they had a phenomenal turnout from their student section, from their whole crowd, just as recently as last week when they played Florida, and that was a rock fight. And it's not going to be a gimme win. It's not going to be a game where Auburn fans can go take over. I'm not saying they won't be represented. They always are. The witnesses are there in numbers, and I'm not saying otherwise. But this is an opportunity to kind of get right in terms of make sure you're in the best position possible, because right now it's all about positioning. And to that point, it's also an opportunity for, you mentioned the big men leaving things to be desired on the A&M front. An opportunity for Jahni Broom to say, hey, this is me now. Like, I was good before. I'm great now. You saw what I could do against USC after a couple of lackluster games. This is who Jahni Broom is. This is the street sweeper. This is the brand that I can play. This is an opportunity for Jalen Williams to come in and say, look, I am the most consistent player on this team. I take the best shots on this team. The offense flows through me outside of anyone named Wendell Green. Not named Wendell Green. I am the guy. And I think that that's a huge opportunity for a handful of guys, but specifically the four that we've been focusing on, right? And those four, I'll go and list them off in order for those of you who are not watching me get super animated on the visual podcast and listening on Spotify. You're looking at your guards, obviously Wendell Green Jr. This team runs and facilitates through him. I mean, oh my gosh, the passing this past weekend was remarkable. And I believe it was mentioned on the Auburn Daily Show yesterday how remarkable the passing was. If you look going beyond the guard play, you look at Jalen Williams, and I guess if you want to throw Alan Flanagan in as a guard forward, maybe we should call him a fard. That kind of sounds like fart, maybe not. but I can already see that one getting clipped for a different show.
Just call him a point forward.
Point forward. There we go. I like that better. I actually kind of like fard. But anyways, and then you have Jahni Broom. Outside of that, Dylan, talk to me a little bit about some guys that can make a difference, because there's a couple of names that we mentioned on the College Loop earlier in the week, but I think that deserve some attention going into the night.
Oh, well, looking at – I had a little fun tidbit on the College Loop with the fact that in the Kentucky game, every guard for Kentucky that took a shot hit double digits. And Auburn has a few guards on this team that have been struggling to even get to half of 10. But when you look at like Zepp Jasper, Katie Johnson, and Trey Donaldson, yes, they are really good at defense. Yes, they can shut down other guards. But the thing is, Auburn has been struggling to score when those guards are on the court. And I think this would be a key game, especially with this gauntlet coming up, this absolute killer of a gauntlet coming up. You need a guy after Wendell Green to come on the court, facilitate, and be able to score points. I mean, Alan Flanagan is basically all but a starter now. We don't know what the status is once Simo gets back. He is practicing, is what I heard from BP. We don't know how much longer. I believe Alan Flanagan is still going to be a starter after this, and Simo will come off the bench. But we don't have a true backup guard set who can facilitate this offense. I know Zepp Jasper is very unlikely to turn over the ball, but whenever he's off the court, I don't trust Katie Johnson not to. And Trey Donaldson, he was a microwave at the beginning of the season, but now he rarely takes shots. And when they do, they're not really all that great shots. And I don't think he scored a point, or at least he hasn't scored more than 5 points since maybe before the SEC conference game started up. I just think it's a big game for those guards to finally find a groove, because, I mean, without good guard play and good backup guards after Wendell Green, someone who can take the load off of him so he doesn't have to panic if we get down and start just taking wild threes, it's key to the season. I mean, you have the forward play. You have J. Will. You have Jahni. you have those two guys. And after Wendell Green and Alan Flanagan, you have a good defender in Zeb Jasper who won't turn over the ball. You have Katie Johnson who's going to put the ball in his arm like he's trying to score a touchdown and then just bulldoze whoever's in front of him and then miss the free throws. And you have Trey Donaldson who, again, just doesn't shoot. And, I mean, you have Leor Berman who can shoot the three, but he rarely gets any PT, shockingly, even though he's a pretty good defender. And he's an kind of improved defender, and he's kind of lit with it when it comes to firing that three-point shot.
I don't disagree. And if you look from top to bottom, I think that this is a big opportunity for the guards, like we mentioned, and we've kind of beat that horse. But I want to talk for a second about Dylan Cardwell and his potential. I thought he played a great game against South Carolina. Nothing flashy, but I thought that he did what was asked for him. And his connection is not the same as Janai Broome's connection to Wendell Green, but it's pretty close second. On the offensive end of the floor, Dylan Cardwell's not necessarily the scorer, he's not the scorer that Janai Broome is. He's not the defender that Janai Broome is, but he provides extremely valuable big man minutes, specifically when Janai Broome's in foul trouble off the bench. And this is an opportunity for rotational wise. Dylan Cardwell to see even more PT than he has in the past. And don't get me wrong, he's been getting 20 plus. I think he's actually averaging, 14 and a half minutes a game. But he's played 20 plus when Janai's been in foul trouble. Very big opportunity for him to crash boards. And that's something that Auburn needs to get better at, specifically crashing defensive on the defensive glass, because second chance points are killing Auburn this year. And I think this is just a great opportunity for him to facilitate. And kind of to that point, Dylan, I kind of want to get ready to talk about what this means down the stretch. But before we do that, I've got some good news for you, Dylan.
Ooh, what could
Would you care to wager a guess what I'm extremely excited to talk about right now?
The betting odds seem, maybe it's an ad read for Prize Picks. I think that's the favorite, but it could be a lot of things.
I think that you may have just hit that one right on the head, man. You can cash that one out. So this season, Auburn Daily has partnered with Prize Picks to bring some fun and variety to the picks for 2023. Prize Picks is a free app that allows you to choose any 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 players from any sport in your wagers, predict the over or under for the next game, and win big prizes if they do well. They have flex options where you can still get paid on winning only 3 of 5 or 2 of 3, and you can have multiple sports in the same parlay. That's pretty clutch, Dylan. Best of all, use promo code Auburn, that's as they say in the song, AUBURN, to receive double on your first deposit up to $100. That's promo code Auburn, AUBURN, for double your first deposit. This college basketball season, win some money with Prize Picks and the Auburn Daily. Use promo code Auburn. And Dylan, have you taken a look any at all? Because I've got my Tar's Terrible Takes because I'm a terrible gambler. But I think I told you before that the over-under for scoring for Ben Simmons this evening against Philadelphia is 8.5. I like the under against anyone for Ben Simmons because I never want to bet on him to score. But if you want to make money, probably bet against that. So.
Oh, just if Tar's taking the under, you probably should take the over from what I've learned. Because last time he had a prop bet. LaMelo Ball was going to get 6.5 rebounds and he bet the over. And then against this, I think the Spurs, a team that is not very good, he got one.
Listen, I'm not a good gambler. That's why I don't do it much. But that's my Tar's Terrible Take of the day. Anyways, let's hop back into some college hoops, Dylan. Thank you to our friends over at Prize Picks. Let's talk about the SEC in general, the big picture. All we've heard all year long, and I'm not taking anything away from Nate Oates has done in Tuscaloosa. And you've watched me kind of get into it with Daniel Locke about this via Zoom. Alabama is the clear favorite, clear front runner to win the SEC regular season. Let's just take a moment to think about this, though. They're unbeaten in the conference. Great accomplishment. There's two teams that are one loss in the conference. This thing's still wide open. Three teams that are still one loss in the conference. My bad. I literally have my notes here, too. But this thing's still wide open. So let's take a moment here and talk, Dylan. Auburn's got a gauntlet in front of it, and if there's ever such a thing as controlling your own destiny, it's Bruce Pearl's team right now. So interested to get your thoughts there.
Yeah, so looking at, I feel like Auburn has one of the toughest SEC schedules remaining out of anybody. Because I mean, you start off with A&M, and then sorry, my dog is whining. But at West Virginia, we've said a couple of times that West Virginia is not the best we've seen them in recent memory, but it's still in Morgantown, and it's still a tough team. You got a revenge game for Georgia in Neville Arena. At Tennessee, at A&M, versus Alabama in a game that sounds like it's going to be another Pearlville 2.0. Then you get Missouri, who's not bad, at Vanderbilt versus Ole Miss.
You good over there?
Special guest for my dog, who has a lot to say on the matter for Auburn basketball. Versus Ole Miss, at Kentucky, at Alabama, and then versus Tennessee to end the season, which is just a gauntlet of a final three games to get to the SEC tournament.
Well, Dylan, you and Maya bring up some good points. Auburn's got a gauntlet to run, but there are five games you schedule. You circle on the remainder of the schedule that are probably going to be quite indicative of where Auburn finishes, and not probably going to be. They're definitively going to be indicative of where Auburn finishes coming down the stretch. That's February 4th against Tennessee in Knoxville. That's February 11th against Alabama at Neville Arena. And then you have Kentucky at Rupp Arena. In a game that's a must win. And I'm not saying that because I think Kentucky's down. I think, like we mentioned earlier in the show, I think Kentucky's figured a lot of things out, but that's a huge one, winning on the road. Even if you don't win out, don't win this stretch, which you're probably not going to, this is good for tournament seeding. Then you've got what's blasphemous to me here is you get Kentucky on a Saturday at Rupp Arena, and then the following Wednesday you have to go to T-Town and play what could be the number one at that point Alabama team in the country. I mean, Alabama could be number one coming into that game at Neville Arena. And you round out your season with Tennessee. Thankfully, that one's at home for you Auburn fans, because good night, is this a stretch? And I think that we spend a lot of time talking about how this is Bama's conference to lose right now. And it is. It absolutely is. That's the way on paper things are laid out right now. It's just like the March Madness tournament. Teams that get hot wind up benefiting from it the most. I understand this. There's a very clear path here, folks, for not only Auburn to win the SEC, for the Auburn to be a one seed. Two seed, probably. One seed's kind of obscene. But if Auburn wins out, they're a one seed. That's no question. No questions asked. I'm not kidding.
Oh, yeah, that's beating – that's sweeping Alabama, sweeping Tennessee, and Kentucky. That's sweeping A&M.
And you probably don't even have to win a game in the SEC tournament for that to happen. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. That's another conversation for another time. But there's a very clear route for Auburn to still win the SEC, and no, they don't need help. And I think, Dylan, is it just me, or does it feel like everyone's kind of thrown in the towel on that?
I mean, once you have teams like Tennessee and Alabama who kind of just like running it right now, it's kind of hard to see like a sleeper team. Like Auburn is always going to be a sleeper team, no matter what sport it is, Auburn is always going to be looked down upon. We're always the underdog in every situation, even though we're the winningest team in the SEC over the past 5 years. I mean, I'm okay. I love a good underdog story. The best basketball season I've ever watched was Auburn being an underdog. So, I mean, I'm all for it. I love being doubted. I love it. And if Auburn can get hot, and I want to say at least win half of these games, but I feel like you have to win at Kentucky.
Winning at Kentucky is a must win. I think, and we've discussed this before, you and I have, even just when we were shooting the bull, back in Auburn this past weekend. The home games are what matters the most. The two home games with Tennessee and Alabama, and your road game against Kentucky. Those are three must wins. If you win in Knoxville and you win, or you win in Tuscaloosa, or if you win in both, that's gravy. If you lose that game in Tuscaloosa, it's probably the SEC's out of reach. You need help. But at the same time, if you win your home games, Auburn's going to be in very good shape. Right now, I think that we probably agree they're five to seven seed range, and it's not too early to talk about that. Folks, Auburn is not going to miss the NCAA tournament. That conversation is gone. Ship is sailed. Signed, sealed, delivered. They snuck themselves back in the top 25 and nothing else. Escaped from being dropped out of the top 25 and just done nothing but climb up since then and got better since then. Conversation's over. Auburn's going to the NCAA tournament. That's all but signed, sealed, delivered. Now it's all about that seeding and winning the conference, which maybe you don't win the regular season. Let's not forget, there's an SEC tournament to be played where you don't have to play teams in hostile environments. You play them in a neutral environment, which I don't think that still benefits Auburn, but that's neither here nor there. I thought it was important for us to discuss today ahead of what is a very impactful matchup with Texas A&M. Every single game matters this year more so than ever, Dylan.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the best case scenario for Auburn in the regular season, I mean, yeah, it's to win out, win all your games. But I feel like the best case scenario that Auburn fans should kind of root for is just having shooting for two losses. I think that's the best case scenario. You just get two more losses, right? Yes.
Yes. No.
At Alabama and at Tennessee. But I think with that, I mean, you've won enough away games and you've won enough home games. You're already seen as like a higher seed. And then I feel like that makes you a hot enough team going into the tournament.
I think you're absolutely right. And that's why I wanted, when I texted you this morning and said, hey, man, I really want to talk about the end of season implications because it starts now. It started last week. It really did. Those were the LSU and the South Carolina games. You can say what you want about how crummy those basketball teams are, and I will absolutely agree with you. This is the crunch time. And this is probably, I mean, you're halfway through your SEC season. It is crunch time now to continue to improve and continue building in the direction of going dancing. And like you said, I think if you target for two losses going down the stretch, you obviously theoretically, hypothetically want to win out. But if you target those two losses going down the stretch, I'm telling you, man, you're going to be dancing. You're going to be dancing in a good spot. So that being said, Dylan, thank you for talking ball with me today. You know, I always appreciate it. And we'll get to talk more ball this evening. I'll let you go ahead and tell everybody where they can find your work, where they can love on you, support you, follow you, laugh at you, clown you, troll you, all the above.
Yeah, if you want to see me annoy other people on Twitter, you can just follow me right there. I like to at people a lot. You can also catch me on the College Hoop podcast that me and Tar both run with Daniel Locke. You can follow us at the College Loop. That is at the College Loop on all social media platforms except for MySpace. I always had to throw that in there after you made the joke. TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, we're there. And with that being said, yeah, that's all my stuff.
And on my part, Dylan, I'm at By Harrison Tar on Twitter. On my Instagram is literally just look up my name. It's pretty hard to miss me. All my social content is there. If you're looking for my written work, I appreciate you first and foremost. But if you're looking for my written work, that is on The Auburn Daily. So that's on the website that you can find linked in this little description action. Moreover, the College Loop, like Dylan said, I'll echo everything. Like you just said, no games. Everything's just at the College Loop. Podcast comes out tomorrow. So this will be tomorrow morning at 8:30 in the morning. We'll have a recap of tonight's game against Texas A&M. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Auburn Daily Show. We will see you guys same bat time, same bat channel tomorrow. And I will see you guys with one Lindsey Crosby on Friday. Everybody have a great rest of your Wednesday. Have a good one.